You're listening to How to Win with Mike Moore, the podcast that provides you with practical insights on how to win in every arena of life.
God wants His people to prosper, and I believe that He's anointed me to help you to prosper, to go from one level to another level all year, and we're going to break poverty and lack and scarcity, unfulfilled desire over your life. It's going to take you to another level of abundance in God. Come on, take this journey with me. How to Win Our Prosperity Edition 2024.
Are you ready to break free from the chains of anxiety, stress, and depression? Mike Moore, author and founding pastor of Faith Chapel and host of the How to Win podcast, is here with his new book, Help, My Mind is Under Attack. Learn how to overcome attacks on your mind and live an emotionally healthy life. Grab your copy now, available as ebook on Amazon and paperback on MikeMoore.com. Embark on your journey to complete mental health and emotional peace.
Hello, I'm Mike Moore, and welcome to the How to Win podcast. These podcasts are based off 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Listen, I'm so glad to have you with us today. I began in our last episode a new series entitled No Way to Win. We're in my prosperity edition, and boy, I tell you, we're learning and we're growing, and I believe that God is releasing increased financial material, increase to you, promotions, raises, blessing you with land and property. I believe your business is being blessed. Your church is being blessed. Your ministry is being blessed. I believe that God confirms His word with signs following. We're talking about No Way to Win. And I have a goal in this series. I wanted to create an honest appraisal of your chance to win in life. An honest appraisal. Now, we learned in our first episode that there are two systems of acquiring, managing, utilizing, and investing money and material resources. We're not talking specifically about how to acquire. We're not talking specifically about how to manage and how to invest money. I'm not dealing with that. I'm talking about a system of how you do these things. And there are two systems. There's God's way or God's system, and there is the world's system or the world's way of doing things. And in this particular series, No Way to Win, we're specifically dealing with the world system. You could say the world system of stewardship or the world system of investing, the world system of gaining, the world system. So in lesson one or episode one, we talked about the world system. What is it? And each one of these episodes has a subtopic. So in this second episode, we're going to talk from the subtopic, the world system is built on deception. And that's why, one of the reasons why it is a no-win situation. The world system, it is built on deception. It is built on deception because Satan is the ruler of the world system. He established it. He created it. When Adam fell and relinquished authority and handed that authority over to Satan, he became the small g, the god of the world, and he began to create a system for people to operate that would benefit him, his agenda, and that will steal, kill, and destroy. So the world system is built on deception. That's what we're talking about. Satan is the great deceiver. Revelations 12:9 says, so that great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Satan is a deceiver, so his system operates and is built on deception. I'm going to give you a definition of deception that came to my attention many years ago. It is a powerful definition of deception. I want you to write it down in your iPad, whatever you're using, make a note, put it somewhere. This definition of deception is powerful. This deception is when Satan has successfully canceled out tomorrow's consequences by emphasizing today's delight in your mind. I'll say that again. Deception is when Satan has successfully canceled out tomorrow's consequences by emphasizing today's delight in your mind. I'm going to quote it again, and I'm going to slow down and let you really get this. Deception is when Satan has successfully canceled out tomorrow's consequences. There are consequences to our actions, consequences to our words, consequences to our decisions, consequences to our negligence. Deception is when Satan has successfully canceled out tomorrow's consequences by emphasizing today's delight in your mind. Now, we're going to look at deception. We're talking about prosperity. But many of these things are connected, but we're deceived many times and we don't see the connection. Now, there is a deception to sexual immorality, the deception of immorality. Let's look at Proverbs 9. Verses 17 through 18 in the New King James Version. It says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, and that their guests are in the depths of hell. Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that they are guests in the depths of hell. Wow. The deception of sexual immorality. I remember when I was a new believer. I hadn't been saved that long. I'm in my singlehood state. I had come out of a lifestyle of sleeping around, fornication, that kind of thing. And now I'm over in the kingdom. But just because you get saved doesn't mean your mind is renewed, doesn't mean your flesh is under control. So I still had that desire to fornicate, even though I'm born again. But I knew that it wasn't the lifestyle I should live. So I went to someone that I thought was more mature, someone that I looked up to, and I was telling them that I was struggling with my flesh. And this person, a mentor, said, "You're a man and you have needs. As long as you keep what you're doing in private, then you have to meet your needs." So this was a Christian mentor that said to me, because I was a man and had needs, and we were talking about sex now, that I should meet those needs, in other words, continue to fornicate, as long as I just keep it private, not bring it out in the open, then that would be good. Now, I was a baby Christian at the time, but I knew that was not what the Bible says. And this person should have known better than give me that advice. But it was worldly advice. It was the way the world thinks. The world thinks that. And many, especially, it's true of Christian women, but especially single Christian men, they just feel like, you know, I have needs. I gotta have my needs met, and I'm a man and all that kind of stuff. And so you got Christian single men especially who really see no problem with fornicating, even though they are a believer. Well, this text lets us know that stolen water is sweet. It's going to be wonderful. You get your rush off. You release your filth, you know. It's sweet. And bread eating in secret, you're doing it in secret. You know what I mean? You got your thing going on. But there is a connection. That's all I want to say. There is a connection. These things are not disconnected. You cannot operate in sexual morality, and you're going to grow, and you're going to walk in the fullness of the prosperity that God intends for you to have. And the Bible says in Ephesians 5:5-6, I'll just quote it for you. It says, "For this you know, that no fornicator has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words." And those were the words that I got. I got empty words about it was okay. And now that I'm a believer, now that I'm married, it's still not okay. It's not okay as a married person to go outside of their marriage to get their sex need or their emotional needs or whatever the Bible calls that adultery. Now, I want to quote a text. I want to look at a text in Proverbs 6, 27, verse 27, verse 29 and 31. It's talking about adultery. And it says, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house." Now, there's a connection. The Bible connects the dots for us. Now, we married. We believe in for prosperity, but we're in an illicit relationship, a relationship with someone's wife or someone's husband, or we married and we're in a relationship with a single person going outside our marriage, and it's all connected. At some point, because that's worldly, you operate on the worldly system that I can do whatever I want to do and I can prosper over on this hand. This scripture says that you can't take hot coals in your bosom and your clothes not be burned. And then it says that you may have to give up all the substance of your house. And think about all the people who have been saved, spirit-filled. God's prospered them with nice homes and nice things. They go outside the marriage crashed, then they're going through this divorce and all this separation of the resources, and then that person got to start all back over again in their lives. Or are they fighting in court to try to hold on to what they got? All because of a deception. It was a deception. We cannot, as believers, engage in sexual immorality, whether we're single or married, and yet prosper and nothing happened, because now we're operating under Satan's system. And Satan will not allow us to ride on his merry-go-round and not pay a price. You're going to ride on his roller coaster, you're going to pay a price. Okay? In other words, you're going to play on his playground, you're going to have to pay a price. Now, that price sometimes may come later, but you're going to have to pay a price. It's a deception that think we can go outside of the world, the word, and nothing happened. There are no consequences. No. When we engage in sexual immorality, then Satan has successfully cancel out tomorrow's consequences by emphasizing the today's delight. You see, it's delightful. The sexual experience is delightful. It is their moment. So Satan has us caught up in the delight of today, the moment, and he successfully cancel out tomorrow's consequences because there are some consequences. So there's the deception in the area of sexual morality, but there's also deception in the area of the love of money. Let's look at that. The deception in the area of the love of money, not money, but the love of money. In 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10 in the New King James Version, it says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in perdition and destruction. Now, listen at this. I read that text from the New King James Version. It says, but those who desire to be rich will fall into temptation and a snare, that's a trap, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, that's desires, and it will drown you in destruction, that means punishment or death, and perdition, that means a loss spiritually or a loss eternally, perdition. Now, when I read this in the this ninth verse, in the King James Version, it says, they that will be rich. It didn't say desire. It said they that will be rich. And then I think the Amplified Bible communicates it even better. The Amplified Bible says those who crave to be rich will fall into temptation and a trap and these harmful and foolish lusts and destruction and perdition. Those who crave to be rich. That's 1 Timothy 6, 9. In 1 Timothy 6, 10, it says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, this text, 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10, has been misinterpreted, misunderstood. And so it really has hindered many Christians from desiring to prosper, desiring wealth and riches. Because we read, one translation says, those who desire to be rich. The New King James says, those that will to be rich. And the Amplified, those who crave to be rich. Now, what does that ninth verse mean? It means a fixity of purpose. It means to set one's mind exclusively on one thing. It means to have one goal in life. It means to concentrate on the accumulation of wealth as an end in itself. In other words, if you make getting rich your world, that's what it's saying. It's a fixity of purpose. You exclude all other values, all other priorities. That's what the ninth verse is talking about. And you will try to accumulate wealth as an end in itself. It says that you will fall into temptation and a trap, many foolish and harmful lusts, and then you will end up in destruction and possibly perdition. That means to be eternally lost. That has to do with craving something and making it your whole life. That's all that's talking about. In verse 10, when it says the love of money is a root or the root of all evil, Love of money speaks to three things. It speaks to idolatry. That means to be money and things centered and not God centered. It's materialism. That's an attempt to satisfy our spiritual need with material things, and greed, the desire for more, for self only. Now, when you look at these definitions of really what the love of money is, idolatry, to be money and things centered. You don't have to be money and things centered. You can have plenty of money. You can be rich. You can be wealthy and not make money an idol. The word materialism, some people say, well, all that desire for riches and wealth, that's materialism. No, it's not. It's not. That's not what it is. That's not what it is. Abraham was rich. Isaac was rich. Jacob was rich, and God made all of them rich. Okay, David was rich. God made him. Solomon was rich. God made him. No, it's not talking about wealth in that. It's talking about materialism is when you attempt to satisfy a spiritual need with a material thing. And then greed. Somebody, well, that's greedy. To want more, to want wealth, to want, that's greedy. No, that's not what greed is. Greed is the desire for more for self only. And many times people fall into that trap because they get deceived. And then some Christians who hear the message of prosperity, they get deceived because they think we're talking about idolatry. They think we're talking about materialism. They think we're talking about greed, and we're not. We're not talking about any of those things. You can have wealth. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 18, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they, what, give their wealth away? No, it didn't say that. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, not haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches. The riches are uncertain, but trust in God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. See, God gave the people the wealth. God gave it to them. God doesn't want us to trust it. That's a deception when we start trusting it. He doesn't want us to be haughty, to think more of ourselves, high-minded, think we're better than other people. That's a part of the deception. And then the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:18, charge them to be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. The Bible said, take it and be rich in doing good things. And if you're rich, you can be rich in doing good things. So it's a deception. And the deception in misinterpreting 1 Timothy 6:9 and 10 is that it gets unbelievers and believers caught up in the misplaced trust. The deception is that you begin to trust something that God gives. God gives the wealth, God gives the riches, but He doesn't want you to trust it. The moment you start trusting and looking to it for direction, looking to it for security, now you're over into a realm of deception. And because we've misinterpreted these texts, many Christians run away from wealth. They run away from being rich because they assume this has a negative connotation. So the deception of the love of money, and then the deception of the deceitfulness of riches. Over in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, in the New King James Version, it talks about the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. The word deceitful means a delusion. It means a false appearance. It means a false impression. The deceitfulness of riches is a distraction. Anything that draws you away, pulls you in another direction, but it has to do with being pulled away in economic pursuits. Any economic pursuit that pulls you away from your spiritual position, it pulls you away from intimacy with God. It pulls you away from a connection with God's people. It pulls you away from your growing in God. Then you're being deceived. Now, that can be a new job. That can be a promotion. That can be relocation. That can be educational goals. That can be business ventures. But anything that pulls you away from you growing in God, you growing in the Word, you growing in intimacy, your priorities with your family, then that's the deceitfulness of riches. It pours your way. You can have riches, but you shouldn't be deceived by them where now you're being pulled away and you don't have time for the Word. You're being pulled away where you don't have time for God. You're being pulled away where you don't have time for church. You're being pulled away, you don't have time for your family. That's the deceitfulness of riches. The last deception that I want to cover, because the world system is built on deception, I want to briefly mention this last deception, and that is the deception of unresolved anger. The deception of unresolved anger. Ephesians 4, 26 through 27, it says, be angry, do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. Unresolved anger is rooted in deception, because when I don't resolve my anger through forgiveness, then that gives place to the devil. Unforgiveness gives place to the devil. Unresolved anger gives place to the devil. If I don't forgive others and I allow it to stay in my heart, it leads to bitterness, and bitterness gives place to the devil. Unresolved anger. Sometimes it's unresolved anger with somebody. Sometimes it's unresolved anger with God. Mark chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, it talks about how the sower sowed the seed on four different kinds of soil. Well, the second kind of soil was called the stony ground soil. If the word is planted in the heart of the believer, they receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves. They endure for a time, and when affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake, they get offended. That word affliction is an interesting word, because it says when trouble comes. Affliction means trouble. Trouble can be an adverse circumstance, but trouble can be a conflict situation with people. When trouble comes for the word's sake, they get offended. Sometimes people get offended at other people and they just leave church, they quit church, they stop going to church, and Satan now has stolen the word from them. Sometimes people have trouble in their life and they get offended at God. They get offended at God. God, why you allow this? God, why did you cause this to happen? They get offended. And the Bible says when we get over into offense, it chokes the word. So even though we may think we have a right to have this unresolved anger, have this unforgiveness, being mad at God and being mad at people is really a deception. It is designed, offense is designed to keep the word from producing in your heart. And if the word doesn't produce in your heart, then you can't prosper. And many Christians are holding on to grudges against people, not understanding they're being deceived and shutting their own capacity to prosper. And others are angry at God, and they're being deceived because now they've cut off the very person who can bring them through the situation that they're dealing with. Listen, I'm out of time. I wanted you to get this. I want you to go back and listen at this. We covered a lot of territory today, but I want you to see that the world system is a no-win situation because it's built on deception. Satan is a deceiver. Deception is when Satan has successfully canceled out tomorrow's consequences by getting you to concentrate on today's delight. Many things are not the way they appear, and that's the way Satan operates. He operates in a delusion, a false appearance. So you have to be guarded by that. The world system, if you're going to prosper through the world system, you're going to end up being deceived by things, and we get further in that in our next episode. I look forward to seeing you next time, and I pray that you have a great week.